Our first reading for tonight comes from Deuteronomy chapter 8. The whole commandments that I command you today, you should be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give you to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you, and let your hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs flowing out into the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vine and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, out of whose hills you can dig copper, and you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Alleluia. The gospel reading is from Luke chapter 17. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee, and he entered a village. He was met by 10 lepers, who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go and show yourself to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." This is the word of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Thanksgiving is a kind of strange holiday. It is something quite close to the religious impulse itself. At some point, I think all creatures, or at least all humans, have that moment of supreme humility. We recognize how utterly unworthy we are, and yet we are the recipients of providence beyond measure. Sometimes it might be the birth of a child. Sometimes it might be when the bullet whizzes past the ear and doesn't reflect off of here. Sometimes it might just be in the quiet of the night. And the only response is a heartfelt thank you. Like what I'm assuming spurred the one of the 10 lepers. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, he fell on his face at Jesus' feet. Because that is what you do at those moments. Of course, Jesus recognizes only 10% of those healed recognized the moment. And none of the ones who were supposedly instructed recognized it. Just a Samaritan. There's another secret there. The further we are from providence when it appears, the more we are able to see it. but as close as thanksgiving is to that basic religious impulse, thanksgiving proper is not a day on the church calendar. It's a civil declaration. Now, that wouldn't prevent a church themselves from declaring such a day, but thanksgiving in the United States has always been at the proclamation of the civil magistrate. Whether that was Governor William Bradford of Plymouth Colony, George Washington, or Joseph Biden. I think over the years, I've read every one of the Thanksgiving proclamations. And there are better and worse ones. Of course, Lincoln's rise up. Maybe, surprisingly, Calvin Coolidge, the famous Silent Cal, in my reading, wrote some of the most touching ones. The year he took office after the unexpected death of Warren Harding, he wrote, "By experiences such as these, men and nations are tested and refined. We have been blessed with material prosperity. We shall be better able to appreciate it if we remember the privations others have suffered. And we shall be more worthy of it if we use it for their relief. We will do well then to render thanks for the good that has come to us and show by our actions that we have become stronger, wiser, truer by the chastenings which have been imposed upon us. We will thus prepare ourselves for the part that we must take in a world which forever needs the full measure of our service. We have been a most favored people. We ought to be a most generous people. We have been a most blessed people. We ought to be a most thankful people." Cal, the solid Calvinist that he was, understood what Moses was telling the gathered Israelites. "Know that in your heart, as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you." And that the answer to any such privations and discipline is to make us able to see the manifest and gracious providence of God Almighty throughout whatever 40 years we are walking. The Father does not discipline the Son because he is cruel, but because he does not want his Son to grow up crooked and blind. And if we look with straight eye, we shall be amazed at what we see. Your clothing did not wear out, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. We have been a most favored people. George Washington reflected the man himself. It was always about duty. "Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly implore his protections and favor." His reflection on why it was a duty is meaningful. That we may then unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and his protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation, for the single and manifold mercies and the favorable interpositions of his providence, which we experienced in the course and conclusion of the late war, for the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty, which we have since enjoyed. For the peaceable and rational manner in which we have been able to establish constitutions of government for our safety and happiness. It's the duty of nations to acknowledge providence, especially this one, because they are established and made firm only by the divine mercy. The Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks and water, of wheat and barley, of vines and figs and pomegranates, and of honey. Somewhere in there, Moses moves from the promised land across the Jordan into the promised land that he himself would be able to cross into. A land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing. It's our duty to recognize and give thanks for the providence that we see now. Of course, like the 10 lepers, we are fortunate if we see 10% of the mercies that God pours on us. As Cal called out, we are better able to appreciate it if we remember the privations of others. Knowing, of course, that we rarely learn from that, even though it is our duty. But the grace of God is such that he does not cancel the healing of the 9 who missed it. And he does not withhold his providence from all the earth. It comes on the wheat and the tares. The flood shall not come again. And the grace of God is such that the time will come when you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land that he has given you. And that land won't be Canaan or England's blessed plot or see the shining sea, but the land that God shall give you is Zion. Amen.